Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
When you go on holiday, there is no finer achievement than doing absolutely nothing. Nothing on the beach, nothing by the pool. Walking kind of nowhere and chatting about nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight. So you can have a bit more money to go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing. Expedia, made to travel.
Broads, this episode is brought to you by Mejuri, the company making fine jewelry for every day, no special occasion required. Mejuri pieces are handcrafted with the highest quality materials like 14-karat solid gold, sterling silver, freshwater pearls, and even diamonds.
If you're looking to mark some people off your holiday list, or maybe you're looking for something special to you from you, you really cannot go wrong with Mejuri. Their timeless staples can be worn and loved every single day, no matter what you have on your schedule, whether you've got a night out on the town ahead or a cozy night on the couch.
And when you shop at Mejuri, you'll never pay that 10 times retail markup found at most jewelers. Just quality pieces, timeless designs, and affordable prices. That's what Mejuri is all about.
Head to Mejuri.com/chatty for 10% off your first order. That's Mejuri.com/chatty for 10% off your first order.
Broads, life is complicated enough. Getting birth control should be easy. No one needs one more thing to add to their to-do list, so let the Pill Club help.
The Pill Club is an online birth control subscription prescribed by a medical professional and delivered right to your door. It's that simple. And the Pill Club even carries 120 FDA-approved brands, and they're starting at just $7 per month if they aren't covered by your insurance already.
And right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/chatty, the Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Chatty Broads listener who becomes a patient. Your donation will help a low-income individual get access to birth control through bedsider.org.
That's so cool. So go to thepillclub.com/chatty to get your first birth control care package and help donate to more people in need of affordable birth control. Remember, you have to go to thepillclub.com/chatty in order for the donation to be made. thepillclub.com/chatty.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Well, hello, Broads.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I feel like I got thrown back. I just had this moment right now where suddenly I was getting texted and emailed by everyone, and I was like, I feel like I just got thrown back into life. Like a baseball going 100 miles an hour.
Well, you know what? I really think that there is something about when you get sick or when there's like a hiccup like that, and then you have to pause because your body's like, you can't do anything right now. And then all of a sudden you put your foot back into regular life and you realize, hey, this probably isn't healthy all the time. like it's like, I know that you like to be busy and all that, but I feel like that sometimes where I'm like, oh my God, all of a sudden I'll like hop back in and I'll be like, maybe I should slow down this and that, or like maybe I should readjust that, because trying to hop back in is like trying to hop onto a roller coaster that's going like 70 miles an hour.
Well, and the beautiful thing is that my management can push everything out. It's a wonderful to have that flexibility, so that like last week when I was taking care of Ruth all week, it was like, you know, you're going through a lot, let's just push this out. And I'm like, beautiful, so grateful. And then I'm like, oh, that means if it gets pushed out, that means I have to deal with it now.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just stacking up.
Okay. All right. Up. It's like, you know what it's exactly like? It's when you're in school and you are out sick for a week. It's really like that. And then you're like, oh, but these packets that you missed, you got to do this.
There's no worse feeling. The memories of being in college and getting really sick for like 2 weeks and then coming back and they're... The professors are lecturing and I don't know what they're talking about because I missed two weeks.
That is stuff of nightmares.
And you're just like, and you feel the room spinning and you're like, I don't know what you're saying. And like, how am I going to figure this out? And add like six more classes to that and be like, I have no idea what anyone's talking about.
Yeah. No, not fun.
Because Lord knows when you're sick in college, you tell yourself, you're like, I'm going to keep studying in bed. And of course you don't.
I don't think I really got sick in college. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't remember ever being out for an extended period of time.
I got really, really sick once. I think this one guy got me really sick.
You got mono.
I'm like, maybe it was because I got like, I just got thrown on my ass for like a couple weeks once in college. And it was after making out with this one specific guy. So speaking of that, I had this moment a couple days ago. It was very enlightening for me and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this.
Tell me.
So there's this guy, you know, I think everyone has, we've talked about this before, like I feel like most all people have that one person in their life that they're like your what if, right? That it's like if life would have turned out differently or if I wasn't with that certain person at that time or, you know, they weren't, maybe we would have been together or would have dated or there would have been some sort of romantic connection, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a very specific one, and I've had this specific one for a while. And it was kind of always, it was always that major what-if person. Evan knows the who the what-if person is, all that. Well, while I was sick in the mouth and laying around a lot, insta-stalking, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
I started putting two and two together, really. And over the years, now that I think about it, because he has somewhat of a platform, so he has his stuff out there in the world sometimes, I've realized we're the same person. So I'm like, everything that kind of happens, when it happens to him in life, it happens to me in life. He grew up the exact same. Random family crossover. I mean, like everything's to a T the same. And I've come to realize I'm like, I just was in love with myself.
That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing.
But I literally was like, as I lay there in bed with my mouth disease, I was like, oh my God, he's me. Like,
I saw myself reflected in this
person. Yeah, he'll post his shit too. It's like same Myers-Briggs, same Enneagram, almost the same birthday, same like, a kid, married around the same time, was an only child until the family adopted someone. I mean, like, weirdly specific.
That is weird.
Like, weirdly specific. And I never put two and two together, and I was always like, he's my what if. And then I'm like, oh, he is you. And so then I wonder, how often are people in our lives that we find ourselves thinking about or longing over are just really ourselves.
That's beautiful. I think that there are two different types. I think there is the type of person that you are drawn to because you see yourself in them or you see, oh my God, this reminds me of something else I was thinking of this week. I'm sorry for anyone I'm indirectly calling out by doing this. It's probably a lot of you. When girls post like Woman Crush Wednesday or something like that, and it's a celebrity girl who kind of looks like them, and you know that they're sort of, they probably like them, but they're also waiting for someone to be like, oh my God, girl, you look just like her.
Oh, but also it's because even if you have massive like self-esteem issues, body image issues, like all that stuff. Like I know for myself personally, I've always had massive physical appearance issues and body issues, right? I will find people attractive who I think look a little bit like me. And it's narcissism.
Of course.
And it's self-obsession. But it's because I'm like, I could be that.
Exactly. So that's what I was going to say. Sometimes is you see someone, you know, and it's personality traits even where you're like, I could be that.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Like, I think that's what it is.
I could be like that.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. I think that's what it is.
And sometimes you get it with women, even in a platonic way. Sometimes like as friends, sometimes you get it romantically. Sometimes you get it with men romantically where you're like, I could be that. And I think sometimes it is important to reflect on like, am I desiring to be like that? Do I believe that I have the potential to be that one day? Or is it this person that I actually am interested in?
You know, wow, this is really all shaking me up. He has always been the more successful version
just
of me.
Just slightly, yeah. Like things are going uh-huh. slightly better.
He was always a little smarter. He always was, everyone liked him a little more. Uh-huh. Was successful. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about this, it's true. He really was. He was a image of myself that I wanted to attain that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There and I'm reflecting back, and there are definite. You know who's actually a great example is who we had on the podcast, Best for First Date, Eric. If I really sit and reflect on it, did I want to be with him? No, but did I want to be like him and be?
Yeah. And you guys also have there's a similarity in there's a very similar energy.
It's a drive to make like what I really have always admired about him is the drive to make like the most of every minute yep. of every day.
Yep.
And also this longing for your life to be this romantic narrative
yeah.
of looking a certain way and your story unfolding.
Well,
even
when you were talking about where you're like, you know, what scares me is like the idea that like I could. Like, how many books am I going to be able to read before I die?
Oh.
And I remember him being like, well, just start reading them.
Right.
And I was like, what a moment, because I can't relate to that at all. I'm like, books. I was just like, I'm more thinking about how many parties can I go to? Can I get more gloves? No, but for real, there was a moment for sure there.
So I think of, of men like that who it, you know, it's like, oh, I want to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see my life in the same way that like I see their life or whatever. But then there's some people that truly I think you, and then I think of other men that I think of my first love and I'm like, we were very, very different, but I loved that because it was something that it was something magical about this person that is so unlike me and so themselves mm-hmm. in a way that is so different from myself. That's very yes. beautiful.
This is all really rattling me because I'm thinking, I'm like, Evan and I, we have similar interests, but we're so different. Mm-hmm. And then this specific person, again, now that I'm processing it, I'm like, there's so many things about him that I always wanted to be, like that I want to be more like.
Uh-huh.
More unabashed, not caring what people think and just being him. But like, and when I think of him, because I'll think of him fairly, like, you know, occasionally, whatever. It's not like it doesn't feel what if. It feels more like exactly what you're saying. Like, oh, to be like that person.
To be like him, right, right, to have
that
right.
And so it's more like when you're thinking, it's like, I want that person in my energy.
Yes.
In my energetic sphere.
Absolutely.
And it's almost like when you find a person who you know it can't be platonic because there's enough chemistry that it can't be platonic, but you wish that person could be in your sphere
yes.
so that you could be connected to them.
Yes. I feel that. I definitely feel that.
Okay, Broads, let's take a quick pause in the midst of this. We have to talk. I love the scents of the holidays. Peppermint, pine, sweet vanilla. Literally, I am the type of person who is burning holiday candles in September, so my house constantly smells like a candy cane. So obviously, when I saw that Native, the best, and my fave natural body product brand came out with an entire line of holiday-inspired scents, I could not hit add to cart fast enough.
Ooh, I do like their candy cane deodorant lot.
It's so good.
So there's a chance you're familiar with Native's natural deodorant, which, let me just say from experience, it's pretty amazing. I know firsthand, not all natural deodorants are created equal. There's so many different brands and Native is simply amazing. But of course, we would be holding out if we didn't tell you that Native has so much more to offer than just natural deodorant. In fact, Native's entire mission is to overhaul your hygiene routine with products that are made simply with simple products.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty obsessed with the body wash from Native. And now that I can get it in one of their limited holiday scents, I'm even more in love. I've been using the candy cane body wash. Like you said, oh, the candy cane.
I love the candy cane.
Oh, it's so good. And for deodorant, I went with a fresh mistletoe. It has hints of cedar and sandalwood, and I could totally see myself wearing this all year round. In fact, I think I may need to stock up before these scents are gone. They're too good.
Stay merry, happy, and fresh this holiday season. You will love Native's limited time season products as much as we do. Seasonal products as much as we do. Go to nativedeodorant.com and use code CHATTY to get 20% off your first purchase at checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com. Code CHATTY for 20% off. nativedeodorant.com. Code CHATTY.
So most everyone's bedtime routine probably goes something like this. Skincare routine, brush your teeth, set your alarm, and that's really it. But why not make it a little more exciting, a little more pleasurable, a little more spicy, perhaps? Bedtime doesn't have to be boring, and with the help of Dipsy, it certainly isn't anymore.
Dipsy is the app full of short, sexy audio stories I'm obsessed with, designed to turn the world off and you on. And now, Dipsy has a brand new library of written stories to enjoy. All you have to do is relax, let yourself get lost in the story. And it's the library has so much. Whatever you're into, there's a story for you. Whether you listen to an audio story, which it's like I always say, it's like immersive, erotic audio theater. It's so cool. It's almost like you're right in on the action. Plus, there are hundreds to choose from. Each week, more are added. There's always something new to explore.
And while you're in the app, be sure to check out everything else Dipsy has to offer, like their wellness sessions and sleep sessions, which I love, especially on nights when I'm really having trouble falling asleep, no matter how much sheep I count, okay? All I have to do is turn on a Dipsy sleep session, and within minutes, I'm out, and I always sleep deeper and wake up feeling more rested.
For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/chatty. That's 20 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/chatty, dipsystories.com/chatty. And then there are other people, too. My ex-boyfriend, where we had a very all over the place relationship where we were very like each other, but I wasn't necessarily desiring to be like him, but we couldn't help but be always kind of obsessed and entangled with each other because we did really understand each other because our brains worked the same.
Yes.
And we were also constantly battling and arguing, gaslighting each other and all these things because we were very like each other.
Yes.
In our personalities and the way we saw the world.
This is very interesting.
It is, right?
Yeah. Because I've really been grinding. I was really grinding about it. I was like, but not in a bad way, where I was like, oh my God.
Right.
I've never realized how much we're the same person. But again, just he's just a little better.
And it's a different feeling of, it can still be an intense feeling of longing. So I think of the men that I have really ached and pined over, and generally it was the ones that were really different from me, and I was just like, oh, I'm never going to find anyone like you.
Yes, 1,000%.
But it is a different ache, yet a very intense one for the person you want to be like, because it's not only about, like you said, not being able to have them in your sphere, but also it's almost if you can't have them in your sphere, then maybe you're losing the possibility of you being able to be like them.
Yes.
And then that is very...
I remember when this specific guy got a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I was single at the time. I was aching, but it didn't feel as romantic. It was literally like, you're not in my space anymore. Mm. Like, I can't be... You can't be in my sphere because now you're with this person and it wouldn't be respectful for me to be as close. And we've always had this weird dynamic, like, you know, whatever. It was also, again, we were younger. So like the idea of like being mature and being like, oh, we can all still hang out and be friends just wasn't a possibility.
But also a rejection by a person who you want to be like is very difficult because you're just like, holy shit, I'm not even good enough for this person that I want to be like, fuck.
Who's me?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Without even realizing.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. And now that, and it's like with thinking about it too, the ones that are the most painful for me have been the ones who I'm different from.
Mm-hmm.
But the partners have been the most painful of me for the ones that I'm more like. That's hurt me more.
Being in the relationship with them?
No, like when a person that I'm more like.
Uh-huh.
Gets a new partner. That partner bothers me more.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Versus like when Evan was seeing someone, like if Evan was the love of my life, when he was someone seeing someone, I was so tweaked. But there was something that you have bugged me more.
Do you almost have a reverence in a way for the new partner Probably. Of the person that is different from you?
Probably.
Because I sort of feel that way about like certain exes and their new girlfriends. And I have a reverence and almost respect. I'm like, but he did choose you, you know, like, so breath. You must be like, so you must be, you have value because he chose you.
Yeah.
And then, and the ones that are more like true, actually, I do think of another ex-boyfriend who got a new girlfriend. I was just like,
and I'm like, fuck you. Yeah. It bugs me more. And maybe it's because it's not who I would have chosen.
Interesting.
Because I feel the similarity.
Mm-hmm. So you're projecting onto them of what you think they should be with.
Yeah, one in particular person who I also like had a crush on for however long and, you know, whatever. And we have similarities. Not as much as this other person, but we had similarities. I remember when he started dating this one person, it bothered me when we weren't even ever together, but it grinded at me because I'm like, I would have never chosen that person for you. And I feel like now maybe it was because I wouldn't have chosen that person for me and we were similar.
It's a projection. You're like, yeah, I don't think that's what's best. Like,
she's kind of wired in this way where she wants to stay at home all the time and doesn't want, and I'm sitting here going, I would be miserable in that situation, da, 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 da. And so you're going to be miserable, and I'm projecting how I feel on that person.
Right. She doesn't make you happy. You know nothing about their relationship.
Nothing.
No way you're satisfied in that.
And the irony is, it's like I end up, you know, marrying someone who's completely different from me.
That's interesting.
And maybe that person is like, why is she with someone like that?
People you've ever been interested in or like longed for or what have you, what would you say is the percentage split between those two types or three types?
Wait, okay, so you mean
like, would you say you have more crushes or whatever, or love interests or whatever in the past who are more like you or unlike you? What's the split percentage wise in terms of people you want to be like, people who you are just straight up like, and people who are different?
Yeah. Okay. I would say in general, I am most often initially attracted to people who are not like me.
Mm-hmm.
But other than Evan, most everyone else who I've like gone on dates with or dated casually has been either like me or I want to be like.
Well, I think that's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Evan was the one. I mean, there are so many things about Evan that I like want to emulate and be like.
Yeah.
But he's not like me.
I know what you mean.
He's not like
you, me. You never see yourself becoming Evan.
No, I'm never going to be Evan.
Right.
And I'm always attracted to people who aren't like me. Like I said, for the first time, I'm like, oh my God, so sexy.
Right.
But like, he's really the only one that it's like, yeah.
Had a real... Mm-hmm. Anything real with.
What about you?
I feel like equal. I think there's only one relationship I can think of, like I'm saying, where I felt like when I think on it, I'm like, man, he and I are so similar. Like we see the world so much the same and we view ourselves in such a similar way. There's only one person I can really think of like that. But I would say more men I want to be like probably than.
Yeah.
And then there are just randoms.
And then there are a bunch of randoms.
It's kind of convenience, if you will. But I think there are also people that I've been with who I thought that I was like them. And then the more we were together, I'm like, we are definitely not like each other. Like we might have connected on these similar values or things and we're like, oh my God, we're just like each other.
Yeah.
And then 6 months in, I'm like, we are not like
each
other.
No.
At all.
Yeah. When I think about it, I would say this person who was my biggest in my timeline, my biggest what if, and I have known for a long time, was a lot like me, but was a lot, like I said, always a little better. But the person who when I think of like my of Jessica as a whole, the person who I always had the biggest crush on, who there was never anything between us, was the person I wanted so desperately to be more like.
Yeah, I'm trying
to. So I'm like, do I even really have a crush on this person? Or is it literally just like a crush in the sense of like, I respect you so much. Huh. Maybe it's not even that, or wasn't ever that sexual.
Do you think
confuse it because of the fucking cultural raising where it's like, if you have any sort of
desire to be around someone.
Yes, or drawn to someone in the heteronormative sense. Yeah, yes. It's like, okay, if like in the heteronormative sense, if I am a woman and I have any sort of desire to be drawn, is it because it's of course it's sexual and romantic? And I'm like, especially now, like as I got older, when I realized there are so many different sides to me, there is a masculine side, there's a feminine side. And I'm like, is it because I genuinely am just have a desire to be around that person and I want to be more like him? And I don't know.
Right. And then, I mean, I think that then there's those questions of like, what makes a romantic relationship? Like, is that enough to carry a relationship with someone? You know, I don't know.
Oh man, I have gotten it like, oh, I got into a massive argument with a friend of mine about that the other day.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was just like, the older I get, the more I genuinely believe that friendship is the most important thing to have a relationship that lasts if you want it to be for forever.
I see what you're saying. It's like, I think that there's a connection that can carry you far. And so I do think, honestly, desiring to be like someone and having that respect for them.
Yeah.
To be honest, especially in a hetero relationship of woman and man, oftentimes and this is something, of course, I learned in some like Christian book my mom gave me about relationships, but I find it very true. It was like, I think it was called like What Men Want, or it was the book or something. But
sounds about right.
But it had some wisdom in it where it was like, they did some workshop at a weekend retreat with men and women. And it was like, step to this side of the room if you would rather be loved than respected. Step to this side of the room if you'd rather be respected than loved. And most of the women chose to be loved. Most of the men chose to be respected. And it was talking about how like in the Bible, here we go, guys. Here we go. Bear with me. Very cisgender, heteronormative structure, but wisdom that can be gleaned from it, especially if you are someone that lives more in like a certain polarity of like masculine or feminine. So like in the Bible, it says like men love your wives and it says women respect your husbands. And there was that point of like, notice how women don't have to be instructed to love their husbands and husbands don't have to be instructed to respect their wives. And it was just talking about these different masculine and feminine tendencies. And the feminine tendency is to be able to love easily, but not always to respect. And so I was just thinking, even in like a hetero relationship where one person is feminine, mostly feminine, the other person mostly masculine, if you're the feminine person who can really truly respect the other person, that could carry you really far in your relationship.
And again, what you're saying is obviously like how I was raised.
Right.
So I'm thinking now too, I was always raised in like the sense of because you have a female genitalia, you need to be feminine.
Right.
And I was in a home where it was femininity was pushed hard on me.
And of course, this certain definition of what femininity is, much of which has nothing to do with these energies of feminine and masculine.
Not at all. But that like, that very heteronormative, like, you know, this is feminine, this is feminine, and this is how you need to be, was what was pushed on me when I was raised. And the what you're talking about, the men love your wives, women respect your husbands. It's funny because as I get older, and because what was always pushed on me was this like woman narrative from the church, was like, you need to be feminine and you need to respect your husband. The older I get, the more that I'm enjoying my masculine side and the more that I desire respect love. Because I didn't feel like I had access to that ever. And I could never express, I could never be in one of my little small groups at church and be like, I want respect.
Right.
Everyone's sitting around talking about like wanting to feel more loved. And I was like, I had this thing in me too believe that, you know, we have, everyone has every, like, it all in them. But I had this, I had a deep need to want to feel respect. Mm-hmm. And so I think the idea too of like, some, like, that person who you have a crush on because you want to be like them and you respect them so much, it's like, I want to have those qualities because I respect them, mm-hmm. and I want to be respected. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I want to take what those qualities that that person has because I want and deserve utter respect.
And you want to be validated by, if you can get this person to be in a relationship with you, that's also validating that they respect you enough to be in a relationship with you, right?
Yes.
So that's difficult too. It's like, sometimes are you chasing a relationship with someone because you want the validation of, if they will associate with me in that capacity, then I am even one degree closer to to being them, you know, right? Because we're on the same plane then.
Wow, yeah, that's very true.
I think I have really struggled with that in the past. I'm like, I need to be validated that because I think this person's really great, I need to be with them. I was actually kind of going through this in the therapy I'm doing is called brain spotting, and it's really fucking weird. But one thing that I was going over last week was, I realized that I, this thing came up, like, not, it was like not good enough. And I was realizing that in relationships, both platonic and romantic, I want to be better or best so I can be validated that I am, like, good enough. But in that way, whether it's romantic partner or even a friend, I realized that, like, recently with a friendship dynamic, one of my friends, we all kind of became friends around the same time. One of my friends has become besties with another girl. Okay. And I find myself just shutting off and being like, why even try to be friends with her? Because she's besties with this person. And I'm like, I don't even want to be besties with her, though. I don't want to spend every other day with her. I have no desire to do that. However, in my brain, that needs a certain type of validation.
Right.
Because this other friend is higher up on the hierarchy. I'm like, what's the point? Maybe been trying to be
just
friends,
cut it off.
You know, yeah, sure, what's the point? And realizing that in romantic relationships, it's been really similar too, where I have to be best partner ever in their eyes, or I have to have them choose me in the first place so that I know that I am better than these other people because they have selected me.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And it just kind of reminds me of all of this, because it's like, at what point are the way that we, how am I choosing to become closer friends with someone or become romantic with someone? How much of that is a desire to be around that person all the time? And how much of that is a desire to be validated in, you know, you're better or best?
And I think
and
that,
you're good enough.
I think that conversation is one that is applicable to more of us than would care to admit it.
And I've realized that in some of my friends that I feel most comfortable with, this is like fucked up to say, but it's the truth. I feel the most comfortable with them because I'm like, I have a sense that they, I don't know what the word is to use. Like, not that they think highly of me, but it's almost like I feel like, oh, I know that they really value their friendship with me.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I feel very comfortable with them in certain relationships.
Well, yeah, it's because it's like, that makes complete sense to me, because when you feel valued,
right,
and you feel like the people who are friends with you in some capacity are like, wow, we admire these things about you, and
right,
she's better in these ways. Mm-hmm. I feel like that 100% makes sense with, as women, for however long, however fucking long, we've been set up by patriarchal forces to be competitive with
right,
each other.
Right.
So it makes complete sense that, like, our natural, like, learned instincts and trauma and all that would make us be like, no, I feel more safe when I know that I'm with women who can recognize that I could beat them at this and
right,
this.
Right, 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 right.
The acceptance
for sure.
of that versus having women around
sure.
who are like, not, it, I use, if it's a weird word to say, admitting that in some ways you could beat them out in this way. That right. there's like an, so it's like when we're in a relationship, it's like, oh, I can acknowledge that you could win at this and you can acknowledge I could win at that. And so now we're all safe.
Right, right. Totally.
And it and sounds so fucked up, but it makes sense with what has been forced on us for thousands of fucking years.
And there are definitely women that I'm friends with who are just very confident in themselves. And I am intimidated by that, even though they are a great person who's not trying to assert that they're better than me or anything, but I'm just like, and even with, you know, it's the same thing with men. I have these in, I'm sure we all have these completely made up narratives of who people are and what they're going to value. And we make up what we think mm-hmm. with girlfriends, with guys, with whoever, with any kind of people. We are constantly measuring, going, do I believe that you think I am good enough for you?
Yes.
Or to be associated with?
Wait,
for some reason, I think that you don't feel like I'm good enough. I'm going to shut down and not talk to you.
We assign value and rankings to ourselves and other people constantly.
All the time. We're always passing judgment. Always.
Now, I will say the best life decision, and I can say this confidently, the best life decision I ever made was to start being friends with the women I was intimidated by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The women who I was like, they're so confident. And like, I'm intimidated by like how strong they feel or how strong they are and how confident in themselves they are, changed my life. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, it's hard to even like put into words.
No, I think it makes sense. Just people in general. Yeah. When I'm thinking of just any kind of person and however I want to be with them, be it romantic or platonic, I want to get to the point where I can just put myself out there and be comfortable being myself. And what it really comes down to is, can we accept rejection or not?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what comes. That's the fear, right? That's why we don't choose to interact with these people that we're intimidated by. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's because we're worried about being rejected by them, no matter in whatever way we're trying to relate to them.
And what a feeling. I mean, it's no one's ever perfect at it. And it's like, it's a nonstop, you know, trying to get to the top of that mountain. But when you start to be able to learn how to like handle rejection well.
I don't think I'm good at it.
Really?
Well, I mean, outwardly.
I feel like we're all growing. But I feel like you can.
Outwardly, I can handle it fine.
Okay.
I'm not going to, with any person, I am not one to ever get crazy, but inwardly I will just be like, about it, you know, mull it over at night, you know, like, that person didn't want to be friends with me, like, so maybe I just need to do it more.
I'm still not great at it, but I think I got better at handling rejection because I was in the environment that I was like growing up in. I always kind of felt a little bit like an oddball. So I felt like I received rejection quite a bit. So I think I just got used to it. And I used to then just let it grind me like constantly. But because I think I got used to it, I was like, when I then realized where I was just like, why does it matter?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, like, why do I want someone to like me who doesn't like me?
Right.
Like, especially, we've talked about this before, but I'm like, I'm way better at that with like romantic partners.
Yeah.
Like, if I had a crush on somebody and then they didn't like me back, it would like sting me for a second, but I've got good at being like,
you can also justify it and be like, he's a loser.
Yeah, just be like, or just be like, oh, well, whatever, you're not into me, like, embarrassing, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah, you're lost.
You're lost. But with friendships, it's definitely more challenging.
I know.
Because it's personal.
I have realized though, like, I think what I also have to come to terms with is you can't have an all or nothing approach. You can't approach it like, I want this person to be my best friend, or mm-hmm. like, I want this person to be my husband, or, you know, my wife, or my person, whatever. Because then you're like, you're leaving so much room for disappointment. But I think sometimes just making peace with like, okay, I want to be near this person. And maybe they don't want to be super close friends, but maybe we can grab coffee every now and then and have a chat and I will really enjoy it. And so I just have to accept that that's going to be what our relationship is going to be.
Yeah.
And make peace with that.
Yeah.
But I think it is necessary to put yourself out there. And also what you come to realize, I think the more that you start to do it, definitely been doing it more this past year than I have in the past several years. And I remember a similar period when I was on The Bachelor where I was in the same sphere of like being like, I'm just going to fucking go for it and try to make friends. You do realize how many people want to connect and be friends.
Most everyone wants friendship and to feel seen and feel heard and feel connected.
Yeah. And you know why I know it can be really, really hard to like make friends, and mom friends is something I hear often. But you know what I've realized is that like all moms are desperate to be friends with people. Yeah. And so literally I've met people at the park and have been like, dude, let's exchange numbers and like text me when you're coming to the park.
Totally.
And it's a great excuse because you both have kids. So you're like, oh, we'll get the kids together, whatever. But like, just put yourself out there and do it, because the other person, like 8 out of 10 times is going to be like, okay.
Yeah. Oh my yes. God. Most all moms are lonely and like, hey, get me out of the fucking house with my kids. And like, they're going to get entertained. I'm going to have someone to talk to. Like, yeah, even if you're so different. And I'm like, oh yeah, now that Ember's older, obviously she's in school all the time, so I'm not like doing that during the week. But like when she was younger and she was doing like part-time daycare, I remember when I started to connect some of the moms in her class, and I remember I was so like, I felt really shy because in LA, I'm very young, even though I'm not young, but I'm young.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm young for being a mom out here. Yeah.
How old were you when you had Ember?
28?
27. 27, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean.
And so I was like, you know, everyone always thought I was an nanny.
You feel like you have it together sometimes as much as these other, like.
No.
I'm like, these moms have got shit
They were all businesswomen and like superheroes.
Yeah.
And they had lived life.
Right.
You know, and then they were like, okay, now I'm ready to have a child.
Yeah.
And like, and I know
how to pack a fucking lunch. You better believe.
It's like, I am not. And like, I felt, you know, I was doing my stay at home mom stuff, which was so much work. But I wasn't looking at them and I was feeling so insecure. I'm like, we have nothing in common. And da, 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 da. So I was so shy to like hang out. And one day it was someone's birthday, so we all ended up kind of being forced to get together. And I was so anxious about it because I'm like, they're just going to think I'm this loser. And it ended up being like the best hang. And they were all so cool because we were all just different. And I was then to them. They were like, oh my God, like
they want us young.
that was my role. And like, I was like, okay, so maybe I haven't had like the life experience, or I don't have the badass jobs that these women have and keep it all together.
Yeah.
But they were all just like, you're crazy. And like, you're funny. And I was like, okay, this is fun. Like, and it was just, I don't know. I was just shocked by how accepting and warm. And I think, like you said, most moms are just that way.
And honestly, just people in general, some people who even come off as cold, it's usually because they're fucking insecure and they're not used to someone putting themselves out there for them. I've had to reckon with that too and be like, you know what, that probably wasn't personal. That person was probably just uncomfortable because we live in a big city and they're not used to someone being forward and open to them.
1,000%. 1,000%.
And maybe they just don't like you, but you know, why not just, if you're making it up in your mind, make it the better case scenario and put it on them and say they're nervous and anxious.
Yeah. And speaking of people who are, you know, who are rude and don't accept you, I went to San Diego and met the Bachelor alumni. So should we talk about that?
Yes. Yes. Yes, we should.
But let's get into it. Oh, first though,
first.
I gotta leave you at the edge of your seats, okay? Listen, broads, holiday gift buying is in full swing for us, and hopefully for you, because you're running out of time. But whether you're doing most of your shopping online, mailing presents to friends and family far away, or you're a small business sending out orders, One thing's for sure, and that is that none of us have time to spend standing in line at the post office right now. And thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to.
That's right. With Stamps.com, you can do everything you would normally do at the post office right from your home computer. And when we say everything, we mean it. From Stamps.com, you can easily compare prices and delivery dates across all major carriers and even get discounts you can't get at the post office, like 40% off USPS and 76% off UPS rates. Big savings. Once you decide which carrier to go with, simply print your label, schedule your pickup. That's it.
And if you're a business shipping orders this season, Stamps.com makes things even easier because they integrate with all major selling platforms like Amazon, Etsy, and Shopify, and will send your custom delivery notifications from the time the order is placed all the way until it's delivered. It's a lifesaver for small businesses right now.
Deliver more smiles this holiday and start shipping and saving with Stamps.com today. There's no risk. And with our promo code Chatty, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free shipping credits and a digital scale. So helpful. No long-term commitments or contracts. You'll be up and running in minutes. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the mic at the top of the homepage, type in Chatty. That's Stamps.com, promo code Chatty. Stamps.com, easy e-commerce shipping for less, a lot less.
You know those people that are just lucky, like the type of people that seem to win every sweepstakes or contest that they enter no matter what it is? Yeah, well, that's not me. Okay, but I am hopeful that my luck will change sooner rather than later, which is why I always have my eye on a prize I can win with Omaze. But Omaze is even better because not only can you enter for a chance to win amazing prizes, you can support great causes at the same time.
I think this is so cool. So the way it works is super simple. All you have to go to is omaze.com/chatty. Select whatever prize you've got your eyes on. For example, I don't know, maybe the Miami Dream House, maybe karaoke with Charlize Theron, or maybe a brand new car, okay? Once you've selected your prize, you can choose a donation amount from $10 to $150. You're going to get entries for the grand prizes, more money donated, and that means more prizes.
Mm-hmm. So far, Omaze has raised more than $150 million to support over 250 nonprofits around the world and has been featured on shows like Good Morning America, The Today Show, Stephen Colbert. There's no fine print, broads. These prizes are amazing, and so is the impact on the charities.
You can also go see who's won what. They show that too.
Yes.
On the website. Enter today for your chance to win life-changing prizes and experiences and give to some incredible charities at the same time at omaze.com/chatty. Plus, receive 20 extra entries when you enter code CHATTY20. Heck yeah. That's omaze.com/chatty.
So, I was just kidding about the people being rude.
Okay, but just tell us who you were hanging out with this past week from Batch Nation.
Oh, you want the actual individuals?
I want the guest list.
Okay, so I was hanging out with Tammy. I was hanging out with Katie and John. I was hanging out with Anna. This weekend, I was just joking. Everyone, I will say this. Everyone was so kind.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wasn't.
No one gave you the cold shoulder at all? You don't have to name names. Did anyone give you the cold shoulder?
Yes, there was one couple okay. that gave me the cold shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't surprised.
Whisper it to me. Oh, I already know.
Yeah. Other than that.
You didn't tell me, but I already knew.
Yeah. But I was, you know, I was feeling a little like feeling a little nervous because I'm like, OK, here we go. We're on our podcast and we talk like massive.
Right. No, shit. I would be uncomfortable.
Right. So I was a little bit like, uncomfortable. I'm walking in going like, everyone, they're all friends. They all did this show together and I am not part of this. So what am I walking into? Is everyone going to be like really weird and distant with me? And I'm going to be like wandering around. So I brought two girlfriends
yes,
with me
of course.
Because Becca was sick and couldn't come, which I'm devastated by because you and I just would have had a blast. But I would have been a little nervous.
You know what's I so get nervous about that kind
you know
of thing.
You know what's so funny is so you know very well the two girls that I brought.
Yes.
But they've never watched the show. So they don't know anyone. So they didn't understand like that I was nervous.
Oh, yeah.
So like when I walked up and I saw certain people and I was like, okay, like I said crazy thing. I'm like, you know, like looking yeah. at Chase and being like, hey, Chase, and like, what's going on? I just feel like I'm like, all I can picture is me doing the Wolverine like bra impression, be like, I'll smoke bros, and like seeing him and being like, how are you?
Be nice respectful. Oh, wait, no, was Aaron there?
I wish.
That's shocking. Isn't he from San Diego?
I think so. I would have, that's actually, I was really hoping Aaron was going to be there because I was really wanting one of my single girlfriends to like have a moment with Aaron so that I could come back and report them having hooked up because I just felt like that would have been a funny time. But okay, so there was one cold shoulder moment. Other than that, everyone was so nice. So nice.
And it seemed like you had a really good time, too.
I had a blast. I had so much fun. Stefan threw, it was an amazing party. He did such a great job. Like, it was like it started snowing. There were fireworks. Like, he just absolutely crushed it.
Inspiration for your vow renewal?
Honestly, I'm going to be calling Stefan. I'm like, hello. But I'll say this. Obviously, like, there were a lot of, like, personal conversations that were had off mic. Mm-hmm. About tea.
Okay, I gotta ask this though. Was most of the tea having to do, would you say it mainly had to do more with like production stuff, like things you didn't see, I can't say under contract, or was there also a lot of tea and having to do like, you don't know how this person really is?
Both.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The juiciest stuff you heard fell under what category, would you say?
I would say the juiciest stuff I heard fell under production that like a wild extreme.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll just say this. I walked away from this party being like, my favorite people at this hang were the villains by a mile.
Villains got a vill.
And the nicest, kindest people were the ones who we've all dubbed villains.
Well, you know, the thing about villains too is they let it all hang out.
Yes. Yes. So, but like to the point where it's like, okay, like obviously there's certain people who on the podcast when we're going over what we see, I've talked shit on, mm-hmm. who were very generous being like, I get it.
Who was the most surprising to you in that regard? Or like who's the most kind to you where you were like, you do not owe me that?
Oh, you know, Anna was really nice. Mm.
I sort of expected you to say that for some reason. I don't know
Anna
why.
Anna was like, I'm in the bathroom, like, comes up and is, like, the biggest sweetheart. And I was like, hey, you know, we went hard. And so it was very much like, okay, well, you know, I'm not expecting, like, you to have a cordial conversation
with me.
And she was just so kind. Chris Conran and Alana were, okay, so obviously, right, they get
Skewered. They didn't really do anything wrong, though, on the season.
Well, right? Chris was with Jasenia, and then Alana showed up.
That's right.
And then they had this whole thing where it looked like they didn't like each other and they left. Well, they've been dating the whole time and they live together now.
Oh, well.
And I'll tell you that they're very much, it seems very much in love.
Yeah.
They were just like living their life together on the dance floor.
Well, I know people were pissed about the Jasenia. Oh, yeah. And I do remember how he was like literally walked into the other room and started kissing the other. Yeah, not a great look.
Yeah.
But it definitely was not on the same level of like Brendan and Piper status.
No. But Chris is wanting to come on the podcast and share what he can. So I don't want to like speak for him, and he says that he's,
and so he can talk about it on the podcast.
We're gonna see what we can do. I'll talk to you about it off mic. But they were absolutely like the kindest, and he was so sweet. He like right away came up and was like extending himself, and he was like, I just want to let you know that I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I love the broads and the bros. Da, 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 da. So aww, we support Chris.
I love that.
So yeah, to me, shining star, Tammy. No one's more fun than fucking Tammy.
Yeah.
Tammy is a blast and a half.
Uh-huh.
Also, a couple of the Love is Blind girls were there who I was so excited. I'm like, at first I saw them and I didn't recognize them because, so Lauren, who was from, like, remember she was in the pods and Barnett was between her and Amber. And chose Amber. So she was there and she was really great. And then the final coupling with Love is Blind, there was the girl Kelly. This one who was with, her hair was dyed differently at the time.
Vaguely remember.
she was with the one guy who was super soft spoken that we were like, oh my God, he's so nice. And then she left him at the altar.
Oh.
And like she wanted to go have more fun.
Oh.
That's kind of the narrative that was shown.
What was her name?
Kelly.
Oh, I remember that. And that was that breakup sucked.
Found out a lot of fucking tea about that one. And she is very, very kind and nice. But I found out a lot. I was just like hearing all the behind the scenes shit that like,
everyone's,
you know,
like, please listen to the truth behind my story.
It was definitely a little bit like, hey, so can we like let you know actually like what went down? But I don't know how much I can share because, you know, in the moment, you're like, you don't want to screw anybody over.
No, but can you say any, can you give any tea without names? Like someone said that something.
I'm trying to think here.
I'm putting you totally on the spot right now.
I can say that in certain situations, breakups are made to look like it's one-sided and one person is heartbroken, while it was very much a mutual decision until producers pulled over someone and was like, act like you're heartbroken. And so one person is painted like a villain while the other person thinks that it's a mutual breakup because that's what they discussed, and they're completely blindsided when the episodes come out.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. On The Bachelor?
I'm just going to leave that open-ended.
Well, I wouldn't be, I mean, I'm sure that happens on, I'm sure shit like that happens every season.
All it was one of those moments, like where I said, where I'm like hanging out with them and everyone's like, everyone's really great. But in general, it's like the people who were painted as the villains who like, I went hard in the paint. It was a good reminder to be like, this is fucking TV.
Yeah.
And you meet the people and you're like, okay,
yeah, wait until you and Martin are partying, you know, in Miami.
I know. I'm going to be like, oh my God, Martin, you're not so bad. No, so all the people, all the people that, you know, I'm referring to are the ones who you're like, there were moments where you're like, yikes. And then you find out that maybe certain things were manufactured and manipulated around.
Okay. What about,
also talked to Katie and John.
Yeah.
She was great. I mean, she, I obviously like, you know, she had certain things where she was like, there are obviously behind the scenes things and personal relation things that I'm not going to share.
Yeah.
She's saying this, not, I'm not saying this right now, that she's like, I just can't share.
Yeah.
That make me feel confident in the decisions that I made.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm just the happiest I've ever been in my life.
And also essentially she's just like, yeah, there's shit that the public doesn't know about. Hello. Yeah.
And she's like, there's also shit that the public doesn't need to know about because it's my life.
Right.
She's like, and all I care about now is that I'm the happiest I've ever been. And do I want to celebrate it? Yeah. And if you have a problem with me celebrating it, oh well. Mm-hmm. And they were very much in love.
Mm-hmm.
And she is wonderful and fun. And I totally get why she's in love with him. He's super fun and super kind. And yeah. So
were a lot of people heavily drinking?
Okay. So here's let's get back down to brass tacks here, bros.
All right. Enough of this talking nicely about people.
Listen.
Got drunk?
I never want to put people in weird situations where I'm hanging out personally and then like spilling their info. What I'm going to do.
No.
I will tell you this. I embarrassed myself so hard. I will never recover from the level of embarrassment that I felt. So yes, go ahead.
I do want to know though, like how many people were a good amount of these Bachelor folk and reality TV people getting real, having a real good time?
Most everyone was partying.
Yeah. Were there any people that, you don't have to name names, were there any people that did get real, a little
not
sloppy?
Not anybody who was from the show.
Okay.
There's a lot of plus ones there.
Okay.
Randos. There's a few of them that it got. And then it got open to the public towards the end. And so those people were mixed in. And there were some people who I think had come from like previous things. And it was getting, it got a little hectic towards the end there.
Yeah. Okay.
But I, on the other hand, so it's been a minute since I drank. I haven't been drinking the past few months. And I went to this party and I hadn't eaten anything. I'm nervous going in. Like we said, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I would be too.
Is someone going to fucking confront me?
Yeah.
Is this going to be...
And then also when you have a... It's not even like you're consciously... If you have any drink in your hand, water or alcohol or anything, and you're nervous, you are... I don't know about you, but I am sipping that thing.
1,000%.
I have that straw in my mouth every other second. It's just I need something.
1,000%. Uh-huh. So I'm like, I am walking into this. The first people I see are a table of people who I've talked shit on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got there earlier, I guess, than I meant to. And there were, when we showed up, there weren't tons of people there.
Yeah.
And it was a table of people that I've talked smack on. And I was like, oh my God. And I'm just walking directly into it, being the only not bachelor person there at the moment. Thank God for Tammy, who literally ran up to me and like grabbed me in a big hug. And then everyone was so nice, like coming after. But that initial walking in moment, I was like, fuck. Mm-hmm. So then I'm just like, oh God. And I haven't eaten anything because I'm nervous. And then I start drinking. It's open bar and I'm sipping. And like you said, I'm nervously drinking. Or then just even casually when you're then relaxed more in conversation, but you don't know the people. So you're still having like small talk for a lot of the time. And so then I'm not eating. That's happening. What I don't realize I start doing as I'm drinking is in my purse, I have my weed pen.
Mm-hmm.
I have never had weed and drank at the same time.
All I'm going to say is, because you told me that this happened, and you are so lucky that you did not get the spins and ended up vomiting.
Oh, I did. But that was once I... Well, no, I did get the spins. I didn't vomit until later and when I was not there anymore, thank God. But I was having the spins on the dance floor.
Horrible.
Becca, I start...
Horrible.
I start hitting the weed pen, and now it's like, again, it's a nervous, it's just something I'm doing.
You're doing, I know that feeling. You're like, I'm just drinking, eating, smoking.
And I've never smoked and drank at the same time. And I'm also on an empty stomach. I'm cruising for numerous hours. We're good. I get in a pocket. I'm starting to like hang. Now I'm like, oh, Katie and I had been talking for a while. We're vibing. I'm having great conversations with Anna. I'm like, we're here and I'm having a lot of fun. Also, a few other Bachelor podcast people were there. Justin Takes Batch, by the way, obsessed with him. Uh-huh. Blake's co-host. Like, I mean, there were some great. It was a hang. It was fun. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I am on a different planet, and as I say things, the words that are coming out of my mouth, the moment they exit my mouth, I don't remember what I said. Like, it's like, I've never had it like that before. And again, it's because I never smoke and have drank ever. Like, and I am new to weed. So I'm in this weird state where I'm like looking at somebody and they're spinning and I'm saying something, and the second it comes out, I don't remember what I said, but then I hear their response back to me.
Bro, you just fucked up.
I'm absolutely, is it crossfaded is the term? When you have,
yes.
Okay, first of all, I feel like such a boomer being like, is it crossfaded?
you're good and fucked up.
So I told Becca this already because I was proper embarrassed. So like I said, everyone was nice. I was really shocked at how nice everyone was, minus the one little snub situation. Granted, I didn't talk to everyone.
Best assumptions assume they, it was a...
This is my thing too. I assume, I'm like, oh, you, which is so fucking cocky to be like, you know who I am. Maybe they have no fucking clue who I am, right? And like I said too, I didn't talk to everyone in the party.
Well, they know who you are.
They know who I am. They know who I am.
They know who you are.
Oh, God. It got a little... Ooh, it was a little awkward.
One person definitely knows who you are.
One person definitely knows who I am.
Because weren't they...
And when there was a snub situation, I got all sorts of red. When I tell you, I was like red, like I was so embarrassed.
Okay, wait, just tell me, like, did they, like, what was the snub? Since you're not naming names.
It wasn't like mean.
It was just subtle. They probably just hate you.
They hate me, which is fine. I totally get it. I'd probably hate me too.
But now like, I'm thinking of like the things that you said about them and I'm like,
I don't blame them. That's my thing. I wouldn't blame anyone. If I walked in that room and they were all fucking rude to me, I would not. I'd be like, I get it.
Yeah. Or I would probably be nice to you because I have a hard time being rude to someone. But I would be like, this, I would maybe be like, this fucking bitch is going to be all nice to me after saying the fucking wildest shit.
I don't blame them at all. No, they would.
That's why I was getting nervous about going.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. And so that was my thing. Some people are good sports. Some people are great sports. And that's why it's like, I came back. I'm like, yeah, I learned tea from some people that's like behind the scenes stuff that I can't necessarily talk about. But I didn't have tons of tea of like, oh, this person was rude or awkward or whatever. Like with me, everyone was so nice. Like I said, I didn't talk to everybody, but all the people I met were so nice. The one person I really wanted to hang out with and talk to, but I kept like missing her, was Katie Moe. She was there and I was I want to talk to you. I feel like.
I think I told you I ran into her at the airport, which is random.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. We were on the same plane to Mexico in May.
What? Did you guys talk?
Yeah. I think she came up and said hi, or I came up and said hi. I'm actually horrible when I see people in public. Even if I have no problem with them, I'm like, this is where my brain goes. I'm like, we don't know each other very well. What the hell am I going to talk about? Oh my God. I just hope they don't notice me. You know, I really don't like talking to people in public. I really don't. So I see her in line. I'm like, oh, she's from The Bachelor. And then, you know, she caught my eye or something. I was like, oh, hey!
But
she's so nice. She was going to, it was crazy because of COVID stuff. Her boyfriend was in the UK. I don't think they're together now. I don't know. But I think that he had to spend like 2 weeks in Mexico in order to come to the US. So they were spending 2 weeks in Mexico together so then he could come, or she was going to the UK from there. Okay. Like they had to somehow get into the country through Mexico.
Well, she seems lovely.
Yeah.
I like was seeing her from afar but I didn't want to bother her because she was like, you know, with her friends. Yeah. But I was like, hello. But I didn't get to talk to her. But like I said, I was just blown away at how kind everybody was considering the situation, and everyone was like super fun. But like I said, there were a few people I didn't talk to, and there were a couple people that I did specifically kind of avoid.
Mm-hmm. And there are other people you forced yourself upon.
Yes. So getting back to the crossfaded situation, I felt like I was in the fucking pocket, right? I felt like I was like, I was doing it. We're good.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's right before your downfall 30 minutes later.
And then generally. your girl starts getting a little loose because I'm feeling,
you know what the problem is? You're feeling good. And you're like, I'm going to feel gooder.
Yes. I'm going to feel better if I get this off my chest and force it on you that I'm like,
yeah, or you're like
personal.
Or you're like, I'm feeling good. I'm going to hit the pen again, or I'm just going to have another drink because you're not. Yeah.
And it was the relief and whatever. So I'm starting to bop around and talk to people I hadn't before, which, for instance, like I was talking to Chasen's girlfriend. I had kind of been avoiding him before. She was super sweet, but I'd been avoiding him before because I was like, oh, God, we talked so much shit. But then he was so nice. He literally like came over, bought me a drink. He was cool. They were nice. Everyone was nice. Everyone was partying. There was one specific person, though, as I continued to go down my drunk high moment where I just took it upon myself that I was like, I'm going to go out of my way to try to let this person know that though I might have said negative things on the podcast, that I think that they're gorgeous. They seem so fun and so nice. And
what cracked me up too is when you told me about this, you were like, I think it's the charming thing when I get drunk. I tell people how hot they are. And it actually, it probably is a charming thing because who doesn't want to be told that they're beautiful, you know?
I'm just like, I really embarrass myself because I am the type of person when I do get drunk and I look back the next day and I'm like, I hope that made that person feel good. But I'm the type of person who at a bar, I'll be in the bathroom and a girl will come out and she will be looking stunning. And normally when I'd be like, you look cute, and I would say that normally, right, I will be like, honestly, step on me. Like, I am obsessed with you.
Honey,
like,
push me up against the wall right now.
Like,
you're looking a queen up and down. Oh my God, I wish I had tits like yours. Like, you're just like, this, that kind of thing.
That is 1000%. Yeah. In fact, now that I'm starting to remember stuff and I'm like, oh my God, I was saying so many like wild things to some people about like how stunning they were. I'm like, oh my God.
Confidence booster.
So this specific person had talked some shit on, and I was like, I'm going to just let them know that I've been seeing them around, and they seem fun
I've
and
noticed
nice.
Them.
I've noticed them. The little old me. Oh, my God. And so I went up to this person, and I was so intoxicated that I did not know. And I can tell you now to this moment, I still do not know what was coming out of my mouth. Like,
it was probably all good things.
I hope it was, but I think it was really over the top.
You know what? That's what I was going to say. It was probably all good things. And to be honest, if you had said them so, you know how it is. Especially if you've only had like two drinks and someone's coming up to you who's had five or six and,
and weed.
And they're just kind of like expecting, you know how it is. Mm-hmm. The person's expecting you.
Yeah.
To engage with them. And it's not even sometimes what they say, you know? So don't overthink it. I think sometimes it's not even what they say. It's just like, I don't want to engage with you. Well, I don't know
and
you.
And honestly, like, in my little narcissist brain, there's this part of like, oh, you know who I am. And now looking back, again, don't know what I said, have an idea, but don't know what I said. But in my narcissist brain, I'm going up to you going, oh, they know me. And we've been avoiding each other. And now I'm telling you that, like, it's all good. So sorry about my words. And instead of apologizing, I'm just going to be like, compliment you to death.
Yeah. Yeah. So to give the recap is that Jess told someone they were hot, then really got in her head about it. Because and they were kind of like, okay, thanks. And then what did you proceed to do?
Well, their reaction, again, now looking back on it, I go, you didn't know who I was, and you were like, who is this random?
Why are you talking to me? This is probably the bottom line. Why are you talking to me?
I'm looking for my friends, and this person is like coming up to me and again saying God knows what about like being fun and hot and da 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 da.
And you're like, I know. And they're like, I know I'm hot.
Well,
and
the person was kind of just like, thank you, and like tried to sidestep me. My mass paranoia with the weed and the alcohol made me think that they thought I had an agenda. Whether they thought I was hitting on them.
Because they know that you're with Evan.
Exactly. They know everything about me. They know everything about me.
And just to clarify, you've never had a conversation with this person before.
No.
Yeah.
I really know not. I know nothing of them except for being on the show and what I said. And Broads, by the way, I'm not saying who it is because I'm too fucking embarrassed, okay? There's some things that I can't reveal because it's too embarrassing. So I then get in my head and I'm literally like, okay, now it's my mission to let this person know that I'm not, number one, trying to hit on them, that I'm not trying to get any info out of them. Because I was worried about that all night too. I was worried when I was talking to certain people and having like a bonding moment that they thought that maybe I was trying to gather information to then have hot tea on the podcast.
And again, you're assuming that this person even knows you have a podcast.
Exactly. So I followed this person. Oh my God. And again, I still have no idea what I was saying. I followed this person around trying to convince them of God knows what, like a puppy dog.
I guarantee it was like this, Jess. I guarantee you were like this.
My God, I'm literally like, I'm so embarrassed.
I didn't see you with the drink, and you're spiraling in your head, and you're like, I'm gonna make this casual, and you're like,
oh my God, that's embarrassing.
I can see like, you like fake bump into them, you know, and being like, oh.
I think I did.
I can see you going like this. I'm sorry, guys. I'm screaming into the mic. I need to calm myself. And like, okay, I guarantee you bumped into them, and you were like, oh, sorry. Just so you know, by the way, I guarantee you did that. Like, just so you know, by the way,
Becca, you know me annoyingly well. You know that I probably totally did like that. By the way, because when I'm feeling myself when I'm intoxicated, you know, I'm just kind of like, hi, like you said, like the stepmom vibe, like, hello.
I'm trying to hold myself back to the mic because now it is actually all falling into place. You've told me this story before, but now it's all falling into place where I get, yeah, you're like, just so you know, like, I say that to a lot of people when I'm drunk. This is not.
And I know what unintentional energy I give off all the time, which is why whenever Evan and I go to Palm Springs,
everyone's trying to
people who are like, hey, do you want to swing with us? And I'm like, what energy did I give off? I feel like, oh God, I'm trying to work on it because that's not what I'm intending most of the time, you know, with the people.
You know, why work on it? You know, keep the people teased.
True, tease the people. And so when
that's probably what you're doing. You were probably like,
But then I maybe this is me being cocky, but number one, I don't normally ever get like drunk. Like I'll get like maybe a little tipsy, but I normally am like, I'm good to go. And even when I am, I have heard from a good amount of people that, like, even sober people around me, that I, like, hold myself together well when I am.
Yeah, it's not like you're sloppy.
No, but I'm saying I'm like, I've never been told I'm sloppy, I'm good. So in this moment, I have never had that, like, weed alcohol situation. Mm-hmm. So when all of a sudden I'm like, I've never felt this experience before. And then the level of paranoia and then feeling like I was being sloppy and of all places in front of these people that I like have been talking shit on that were around me, I was like, what am I doing? I was so embarrassed. But
you know what the good thing is that you're just probably another drunk girl at the bar.
I sure hope so. I've had little texty messages with some people post who we were like, I was like, I sure hope that I didn't, like, because I was hanging out with other people too.
Yeah.
And it's all been like good. It was like, it was so fun. I'm like, I think we were all on similar levels, but I was just unintentionally farther and hyper paranoid. But that was me, bros. And I was so embarrassed. And I was so embarrassed. I was just like, for the love of God.
What's worse, if this person continues forever to have no idea who you are, or if they do?
I sure hope they never know who I am. But I'm pretty sure they do, because I'm pretty sure I told them what podcast. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, so they did acknowledge.
The podcast, yes.
The podcast.
But didn't know who I was, I think, seeing me.
Well, that makes sense. They would have to be on YouTube or on Instagram. Right,
which most people listen on. Yeah. But. So, yeah, that was that. Other than my last, and I think it was 30 minutes. I think it was about 30 minutes that I was at that place, because I felt great and I was like chilling the whole time, and then it hit me. And I think that this was only like a 2 to 3 minute experience. But again, the paranoia with the weed makes you feel like it's 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like time is crawling.
Cut to
it
being an hour and 15 minutes of you like bumping into them 7 times.
Can you imagine if it was so long and it went by so fast? And everyone's just like, oh my God, save them.
Meanwhile, where were your friends?
Oh, well, let me tell you about my friends. As I was making an absolute fool of myself. And
they were making connections, building.
They were building and connecting. Now, Broads, these two friends of
building,
mine
connecting,
are,
building.
Yes.
By the way, these are the friends. You're like, I don't get drunk that much. You just get drunk when we were with these friends.
It's true. I'll blame
them. It's only them.
It's true. It's true. I literally never do except when I'm with them, and I'm going to blame them. So I'll just put the blame on them. no, I brought them there. They don't know any bachelor people.
Right.
Which is.
Nor do they care.
No. They are just there to meet the men.
Good time, not a long time.
They go in and these two are just mingling. They are running the party, and they always do this. It's a gift. They both have this gift of like, they just can run the show. So they start. Yeah.
It's also almost better because they don't know anyone. So they don't give a fuck who they're talking to. You know, that's always the best vibe. You're like, I don't know who you are. I am just chatting with you. Mm-hmm. Everyone in The Bachelor, so including us, is so in their fucking head.
Just whatever. And they were killing me, by the way. Because they, like, when I told them the story afterwards, we were waiting for the Uber, and I was spiraling.
When did you throw up?
Late that night. Yeah. I was spiraling, though, because this happened right before I ran out and left. Like, I talked to Kyle for a minute, and then I booked it.
Kyle talked you down.
He honestly did. He really did. He's a very nice guy. And then also Sarah Coffin. Sarah Coffin from Pilot Pete's season, you know, the little blonde. So nice.
I mean, the one that so we were lovely. Going on and on about how pretty she was.
Yes, okay. She sends her love. By the way, she is just the sweetest angel baby. And she was like introducing. Some people were distracting me. God bless them. After I made a fool of myself. Mm-hmm. But as I'm spiraling, these two, my two friends, I was like, oh my God, you guys. I think this person who I used to talk shit on, and I tried to like. You know, overextend myself, and then I got in my head and I feel like I made an absolute fool of myself and I'm just so embarrassed. And they're literally just like, who the fuck cares? Who cares? Whatever. And they just could give a shit.
Yeah.
And they were like looking at me and they're like, why do you care? They're like, honestly, famous. Like, this is reality TV. They're like, if it was like, I don't know, Zoe Kravitz.
And you're, then that's something to be embarrassed
then
about.
You should be embarrassed. Real and shit. I was like, thank you
real
for
shit.
Talking about this.
Real fucking shit.
But these two, was bopping around talking to people that I knew from the show or had like DM'd with or whatever from the show. These two don't know anybody. They're just around the bar, you know? And they mostly found men who were like plus ones of other people. And every time I'd look for them, I'd see them in some other situation with a whole different group of men just entertaining, whatever. They were not so much into the bachelor guys because, in their words, the bachelor guys cared more about getting content than flirting.
It sounds accurate to me.
So they were not going.
Sounds fucking accurate.
So they were not going for the bachelor men because they were like, boo, content, blah.
Yeah.
They don't really post on social. Yeah. They're over it. So they're looking for the men. Well, one of my friends ended up finding this guy who was, when I say enamored with her, it was just like next level. And it was like, he was very good looking. And I'm like, if you're good looking, I'm guessing then, and you know, you're single floating around. This is a judgment call of mine, but I'm like, is he going to be boring? So funny.
Or not wealthy.
Or not wealthy.
More importantly,
honestly,
if you're spending 24 hours with someone, make sure that they're wealthy. Okay.
You're like, okay. Okay. Well, this guy, we ended up talking, I spoke with him for a little bit and kind of went back, but he had good looking, funny, has a unbelievable backstory, like been through a lot of hardships and is now very successful.
So he's a cheater.
He cheats.
That's his fault.
He's a cheater. No, the backstory then made it make sense where I was like, I get why then
why you're here.
Why you're here. Well, he was just determined that he's like, this is my new girlfriend. Yeah. He was like FaceTiming people being like, this is my new wife. Da, right. da, 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 like whatever.
Well, little do we know he has a wife and five kids at home.
Who knows? Well, this man was insistent that he was like, I'm going to show them a good time. And the friends are included because we're in San Diego together. So he's like, I'm taking you on my yacht tomorrow. I'm then showing you guys. So it was like yacht.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I have to hear more about the yacht.
Yes.
I also want to hear, as we talk about the yacht, I want to hear more story because I know these two friends and every single time you guys go somewhere, that wasn't recently. Every time you guys go somewhere, some crazy shit happens and I feel like you haven't really talked about it fully on the podcast.
I have not gone into it and it there's some hectic shit that goes down. Yes.
Okay.
And I'm always the mother. Except for that night.
Well, you still were because you were still like, oh gosh,
that's
you guys.
True. It's like even my paranoia. Like, oh,
who fucking cares? You're like... Yellow. You're like, guys, no, this could impact my life.
Like, no, and they're literally looking at me. They're like, you think that's a big deal? Like, that's something that makes you feel self-conscious and nervous because you kind of followed someone around and like made them try to, yeah.
Okay, I want to hear in detail. I have to drive home and avoid traffic.
Yes, yes,
I want to
yes.
hear about it next week. Also, to tease, we are attending a party this Friday.
We are attending a party together. Which never happens. And there's going to be some interesting dynamics at this party, to say the least.
What drama can we stir up?
Well,
what drama can we tell you all about in a week?
I know you're hoping to avoid someone there.
I'm hoping to avoid someone. I'm also hoping to see someone there.
I know you're hoping to see someone there. We're trying to figure out how we can make this party a little bit chaotic in a fun way. And I have some good ideas and I'm prepared to bring the broads the info about what happened. Mm-hmm. The remainder happened at San Diego with my wild friends. Mm-hmm. And then what chaos we will stir up at this party because I will be sharp as a tack.
I'm going to end up sitting in the corner talking to someone for probably like 2 hours, but I hope you get some good juicy stories.
Oh, I will. Trust me.
Can't wait. I think there's going to be some old friends there too that I haven't seen in a few years.
There is going to be some old friends. Some old history. In fact, friends when we first met while you were still single.
Interesting. Okay. Anyway, Rods, next Thursday, tune in. And next week, you know what we're coming. No, that's actually going to be next Tuesday's episode. Because Thursday is going to be our recap because we're back to our regular programming of doing.
So the next episode you hear, we'll finish up the story. We will chat about our Friday party. And then also, tomorrow, the bros are back. Excuse me.
The bros are back in town.
Bros are back.
All right. Chat soon, brads.
Chat soon.
Hi. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.